Locked On Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, a show for the most passionate fan base in the NBA.
This is not a negotiation. I'm running this team because the Reinsdorfs want me to, and I'm going to run it that I think is best.
And your number one source for Chicago Bulls news and stories.
I think your play is embarrassing. The pro player thing, this is basketball.
Follow Locked On Bulls on social media. On Twitter, at Locked On Bulls, at Jordan C. Malley, and at Bulls underscore Pat. And on Facebook, at Facebook.com/LockedOnChiBulls.
Are players buying in, Jim?
Yes.
Fair enough.
I want you to get up now. I want all of you to get up out of your chairs. I want you to get up right now and go to the window, open it, and stick your head out and yell, I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore.
Locked On Bulls starts now. Here are your hosts, Jordan Malley and Matt Peck.
What's up and welcome into Locked On Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Streaming live on Dash Radio every Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday, 10 a.m. Eastern, 9 a.m. Central Time. Our text and voicemail lines at 331-979-1369. I'm your host, Jordan Malley. Along with me is Matt Peck. Matt, what's going on? How you doing? One more game, and we are finally hitting the All-Star break, and I think for all of us, we need a desperate break here. We need an All-Star break to not only recharge the batteries of all of us as Bulls Nation, but I think the players need this too. And at least we'll get to see Lauri Markkanen play in the Futures game, right? Get a little bit of positivity going into this All-Star break, along with the break that all of us desperately need. But first and foremost, how you doing?
I'm doing good, Jordan. What's up, Bulls Nation? Yeah, I am very much looking forward to All-Star break. I'm heading down to Houston to soak up some warm weather and see my niece, so I'm very excited about that. Also excited about taking a break from Bulls basketball for a little while, and it should be a fun All-Star weekend. I'm looking forward to it. As you said, you know, between Markkanen being in the Rising Stars game once again on the world team, and I don't know about you, but I am definitely rooting hard for Team Giannis in the All-Star game itself, because screw LeBron and all of his tampering BS. Can't wait to watch Dirk in the three-point contest, hoping that we get some exciting stuff from the dunk contest as well, which I don't know about you, I felt has kind of been lacking in recent years without, you know, like once the LaVine and Aaron Gordon rivalry ended, the dunk contest has been kind of meh, in my opinion. So I'm hoping just for an all-around entertaining All-Star weekend and a nice break from Bulls basketball.
Yeah, the All-Star Skills Challenge and the dunk contest and all of that, the semantics of it leading up to it can't be any worse than what the NFL puts out there, the MLB, or even the NHL. Like, Matt, to me, I didn't even know the NHL All-Star Weekend was going on a few weeks ago. My buddy, like, texted me, and he's like, are you watching what the NHL is doing right now with the All-Star Weekend? I was like, wait, the All-Star Weekend's going on in the NHL? And maybe I live in my own bubble, but this All-Star Weekend for the NBA, I think, is the most popular out of all four major sports, right?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
So, I agree with you, though. Maybe we'll see a return of Zach LaVine next year when the All-Star game is held at the United Center. So, maybe there will be a return for him, and maybe that's what he's waiting for. But the Bulls got more issues than waiting to see any of their players participate in any skills challenge or dunk contest in an All-Star game. But thanks for holding down the fort yesterday. Your conversations were interesting, and watching the Bulls play the Bucks too was also kind of interesting. The Bucks didn't have all that great of a night, but did get to watch Giannis, and it was too bad we didn't get to see Nico play. But Bulls held their own for the most part, but I don't know if that was more so that the Bucks just couldn't hit shots, and the Bulls were actually shooting threes in the first half. But beyond that, I had a couple conversations I want to have with you, just following up on some of the things that you touched on. One, let's start with Boylan, because you touched on a conversation at the end of the episode about injuries, and one specifically about Chris Dunn in the Bucks game. So he landed on his tailbone, and man, the United Center floor, what's going on, man? It is just not forgiving to Chris Dunn. Like, what did Chris Dunn do to the United Center floor that all of a sudden it's become enemy number one to him? You know, between the Golden State game last year where he lost a bunch of teeth, and like, it was just, I don't know what's going on, but I'm curious. to me, the biggest thing here was, I think Chris Dunn wanted to go back in that game. And Boylan putting him back in makes me think that Chris Dunn went back in the locker room, told the medical staff or anybody who was checking on him, like, no, I'm good. I want to go back in the game. I'm good. Goes back to the bench, tells Boylan the same thing. And at that time, like, Boylan's like, if Chris Dunn's sitting there saying, hey, man, I'm good. I want to go back in. Like, to me, Boylan's got to be like, all right, man, like, you want to go back in the game? I'm putting you back in there. If you're saying you're good to go, you're good to go. So I can't believe I'm defending Boylan in this small instance, but if he says he's good to go, he's good to go.
Yeah, see, I do take issue with that a little bit. And I actually got into a back and forth argument on Twitter with a Bulls fan about this morning. Because yes, I understand some of the onus is on the player to say, hey, I'm good, or hey, I need to sit. But if you looked at what Chris Dunn looked like out there in the game Monday night after trying to come back in and play, after taking that fall, which I agree, the United Center floor hates him, and I, you know, it's weird, but like, it was so visibly obvious that he was not capable of moving and getting around a basketball court that in the ways that a player should be able to play. There's tough, and there's fighting through a minor injury, and there's struggling to bend down to pick up the ball from an inbounds pass. Like, Chris Dunn was immobile. So in what way is that even benefiting your basketball team? You're essentially playing 4-on-5 because one of your guys out there can't even move. And all he's doing is trying to prove that he's tough and can play through this injury when your team has 13 wins coming into All-Star break. There's no point in trying to grit through and you know, grin and bear it and play through an injury like that. There is no benefit to doing so other than to prove to yourself and to prove to your coach, and maybe by some extent prove to your fellow teammates, that you're a tough guy. But see, that is exactly what I think the problem is. Because somebody was, you know, talking to me on Twitter this morning, like, well, you know, it's just Chris Dunn. He's a tough player. He wants to prove that he's a guy who can go out there and tough it out. And he's also a guy who's trying to save his job as this team's point guard. Okay, the back end of that, I understand. And maybe it's part of why Chris Dunn wanted to go back out there and play through this injury. But the other part to me is this ongoing spiel we have to listen to from Jim Boylan about grit and toughness all day, every day. I'm freaking sick of it. And this is just the latest example. I mean, we saw Zach LaVine playing through, hobbling through a re-sprained ankle last Saturday night against the Warriors because, hey, maybe part of his you know, mind is thinking, oh, you know, if I tell Boylan I can't play with this, you know, re-sprained ankle, then he's going to think I'm not tough and I'm going to get yelled at. It's Chandler Hutchinson saying, well, my toe kind of hurts, but I don't want coach to think I'm not tough. So I'm going to tough my way through it. I'm going to play 41 minutes on what turned out to be a broken toe. So no, I'm sorry. I will grant you that part of this is Chris Dunn trying to prove that he's tough. But again, why? You have to ask yourself, why is he doing that? And I'm sorry, but there is no way that I can deny that part of that, yes, part of it's on Dunn. Part of it is this coach and his obsession with toughness and the fact that it undeniably, in my mind, has some correlation to what his players are doing, and players are trying to play through injuries on a 13-win team, and it makes zero sense to me.
I do agree with that. That comes back to the big theme of it all. The mindset of playing through injury just because of toughness, that bothers me overall. And maybe that was part of the decision-making of Chris Dunn, is like, I only have 27 games to prove myself, and I need to get my ass back out there, because if I don't, this could set me back, and it's, I only have 27 games to prove something, and I just heard John Paxson go up for the last 3 days and not include me in any part of this blank player of the future, or any part of this, I'm not going to say it, group of players.
Well, yeah, the only time he mentioned Dunn was to say that they are still evaluating him.
I do agree with everything you just said, though. It makes me very, very upset, the philosophy that Jim Boylan has about his players playing through injury and fighting through this. That's not a good mindset to have, like you said, on a team that has 13 wins. That's just a terrible mindset to have. especially with all of the injuries that the Bulls have stacked up this year. That is just mind-blowing and mind-numbingly dumb. Bobby Portis, Chris Dunn, Zach LaVine, Lauri Markkanen, Denzel Valentine, Chandler Hutchison. I just, as Jim Boylan, I understand that some guys need to play through things and you can't baby everybody for every little thing, but at the same time, you can't make these injuries worse. And making guys play through injuries like this could set your rebuild back an entire year. An entire year. All it takes is one injury that a guy is trying to fight through, and it could set this entire thing back in another year. For what? For what? Because you wanted to win one game against the Milwaukee Bucks in the middle of February? So I do agree with that, Matt. And that's what I was frustrated with, too. So one incidence in this single game, I think, is more so about Chris Dunn pushing himself to get back in the game. But if you look and step back and look at the entire theme of it all, it's about Jim Boylan's philosophy of making guys play through it because of quote-unquote toughness. And that's where I side with you.
Well,
on
and
this.
The other thing, going back to Chris and feeling like he still has something to prove, Paxson staying, that they're still evaluating him and him feeling like he needs to get out there on the court and prove himself, and that's maybe why it's not all on Boylan that we saw him out there playing last on Monday night through a bruised tailbone. But the part to me that doesn't make sense, if it's Chris Dunn and his train of thought is, I got to get back out there and prove myself, what did he prove by hobbling up and down a court? Chris Dunn was not a net positive playing on a bruised tailbone in that game. He looked like a guy who could barely walk, let alone run, and make good basketball plays happen. So he's not helping himself to like further that narrative of, oh, they're evaluating me, I need to go out there and look good, I need to go out there and play. He looked like a guy who was too hurt to play. So in what way, other than trying to feed into his coach being like, I want tough players, in what way other than that did it actually help Chris Dunn prove himself as a guy who may or may not be a part of this team's future in the eyes of his bosses? Because hobbling up and down a basketball court did nothing to help Chris Dunn look good. It just made him look like a player who was trying to play through an injury that he probably shouldn't have been playing through. You know, this is not Isaiah Thomas's performance in the NBA Finals, hobbling around on an insanely swollen ankle where he scored like 25 points in a quarter. That's not what happened on Monday night. The Bulls lost a meaningless February game, and Chris Dunn looked like a hurt player on the court. That is what happened. He didn't help his stock in any way.
And to not understand, too, is like Jim Boylan's been around this team, too. Like, you understand that Chris Dunn has had multiple injuries, man. Like, you would think that you would be very cautious about what you're doing with Chris Dunn. You would be very, very cautious about this. And I get it, it's a tailbone, and it's not a knee or an ankle or a shoulder. But still, like you said, you could visibly see that he wasn't doing anything. Like, it was difficult for him to even just pick up the ball. He just didn't look right. So I agree with that. I was shocked, and, you know, it just goes back to the main theme of making guys play through injury just because of toughness and grit, and that satisfies Jim Boylan. And I have a problem with that. I do. And I'm not the head coach, though. I just have a problem with that when you have seven players go down with major injuries and two of your youngest players may not even play the rest of the season. Lauri Markkanen, your youngest star on this team, missed the first 11 weeks. Like, that's what I've got a problem with, and I know you do too, so I do agree with you. Let's take a short break, though, here on Locked On Bulls. When we come back, Matt, I want to discuss this, and this is what I got fired up with on Monday after we had our 90-minute special episode diving through the press conferences and John Paxson's radio interviews about what it means to be a Bulls core player. We'll talk about that when we come back here on Locked On Bulls. Stay right with us.
Hey, Bulls Nation, it's Matt and Jordan, and we have a very important favor to ask you. We'd like your help. We've put together a survey so we can learn more about listeners like you and make your favorite Locked On podcasts, like Locked On Bulls, even better. This is your opportunity to tell us what you like and tell us what you don't like. It should take just 10 to 15 minutes to complete. And by participating, you enter the chance to win a $250 Vivid Seats gift card. Just visit LockedOnPodcasts.com/survey to participate. That's LockedOnPodcasts.com/survey. We appreciate your feedback.
Back here on Locked On Bulls, hit us up, 331-979-1369. Drop us your texts, your voicemails. We'd love to hear from you. On Twitter as well, at Locked On Bulls, at Jordan C. Malley, and at Bulls underscore Peck. All right, Matt. So I almost went off the rails at the end of our episode there. And if you haven't listened to that, it's been one of our most downloaded episodes ever since we've been here at Locked On Bulls. So thank you so much if you're a relatively new listener here at Locked On Bulls, or if you've been with us since day one. We appreciate everybody out there listening to us. So thank you again. Go ahead and check that episode out from Monday, or everything else we've done leading up to the deadline or after that. So, Matt, this Bulls core player thing, I want an explanation of what the requirements or qualifications are to be in the Bulls core. Because this doesn't even qualify for the Bulls rebuild. It goes back to before the rebuild. You know, I was laughing because somebody brought up Pau Gasol and how Gar Foreman dropped that Pau Gasol was part of the Bulls core, and he was shipped off not even 6 months after that was dropped. You know, Jimmy Butler was a part of the future, and then he was traded. And I know there's some defenses and there was reasons why these guys moved on, but there's also indictments of you can't say somebody's a part of a core and then move on from those guys 3, 4, 5 months down the road. So when those types of things happen, the value of a word, or in this case, the core, doesn't hold any weight anymore. And that's why I think that this has become growing and growing and growingly frustrating to me. So to me, I don't understand what a Bulls core player is anymore. Or at least the definition of it has become increasingly more hazy to me.
I mean, it's such an arbitrary word or phrase that, no, I mean, it's really hard to put your finger on it. I just, like, to me, it has changed over the last couple of seasons because there's been a huge overhaul and a huge overturn of who is on this roster. 2 years ago, it was still Jimmy Butler. Now it's not, obviously. They started over. They went in a new direction. A year ago, we wanted to think that the core was the results and return of the Jimmy trade, a.k.a. Dunn, LaVine, and Markkanen. Now, fast forward another year to present day, from what I can tell, it certainly seems like, for the most part, Markkanen is 1A of we have this guy on a rookie scale contract and want to believe that he is a part of this team's future. LaVine, on a pretty team-friendly contract and is one of the most useful players on the team this season, want him to stay. Chris Dunn, from the horse's mouth, and that's not a shot at Paxton, that's just, you know, a phrase that people use, from the horse's mouth, still evaluating Chris Dunn. But I think you and I and a lot of Bulls fans are starting to lose faith in him being a part of this rebuild, certainly as the starting point guard. Whether or not he wants to stay in Chicago and play a backup role on a small-scale contract extension is up to Chris and the Bulls. And since then, we have added Wendell Carter Jr., who I think the Bulls do see as a piece of this team moving forward, pairing him with Markkanen in the front court of the future. And now, via trade, Otto Porter Jr. for at least the next couple of years under contract. Outside of that, and it's something that I was talking about with how bad this second unit is in my episode yesterday, nobody else. Because, you know, they would mention Bobby, they would mention Denzel. Well, Bobby got traded for reasons that make perfect sense, and Denzel hasn't played since, like, 2004. So, I mean, outside of Markkanen, LaVine, Wendell, and now Porter, and then I guess maybe you could say Hutch because he's a rookie and is under team control for a long time to come, and has looked like a guy with at least some promise. Outside of that, nobody, to me, that is the core right now. And of course, it can change.
I just have a problem with guys being talked about as part of the future and then just chipped off or reinserted and not given like a clear definition of like what the qualifications are for that. Like, is it because you just drafted them at a certain position? Is it because they're a lottery pick? Is it because they've been around for a certain amount of time? Is it because you signed them to a certain dollar amount? Like, Lauri Markkanen was your lottery pick, and Wendell Carter Jr. was your lottery pick, and Zach LaVine was part of the big trade, and he signed a big dollar amount for a certain amount of years. And so there's three core players right there. Bobby Portis was your first round pick, and he had a really good year last year, and that's why he was a part of this core that was mentioned at Paxson's end of the season press conference last year. And I understand why he was a part of that conversation, and they were hoping to re-sign him.
If Bobby took the offer they gave him last summer, then he would most likely still be a part of this team's core. But he didn't, and he's
that's
not.
That's why I understand that. I get that.
I honestly, I don't know what so greatly upsets you about using the term core or who is a part of the core and who is not. It's, as I said before, it's all arbitrary, man. But they made a deal to bring in a player at a position that they were desperately lacking. And so, as a player in his prime, on a big contract, right now, it makes sense to say, certainly through the 2020-21 season, Otto Porter is a part of this team's core, a.k.a. he is a part of this team's starting five. Maybe that's the way you should look at it. Who's in the starting five now? Who's going to be in the starting five again next season? Because that answer right now is LaVine, Porter, Markkanen, and Wendell. There's your core. That's what we know as far as what we deem to be the most likely scenario for a starting five next season. Core moving forward, it's those four guys. And right now we are still up in the air on Chris Dunn. That's the situation. So I don't know why it upsets you that they make a trade for a player in his prime who's an above average role player who they immediately insert into the starting lineup. And calling that guy a part of the team's core. I don't know why that upsets you.
It's not so much about the trade that they made. It's the buying time by picking guys that have had good seasons or good runs. Like, take for the example of Portis again, or Valentine. Valentine was name-dropped. He was name-dropped at the end of the season press conference last year. Like, is that realistic to include him in the Bulls' core? Did any fan buy that? That's where I'm getting frustrated. And maybe it just comes back and circles back to the use of the Bulls' core and buying time. Like, I get it. Lauri and Wendell are the guys you want to build around. I get that. And same with Zach. Maybe that's true too. But all these other pieces that you're including in this core just all of a sudden gets a little bit hazier. Why do you have to include those guys? Just wait, sit back and evaluate for a minute. You don't all of a sudden have to include those guys just because you made deals for them or they had good seasons for 3, 4, 5 months. Good stretches.
I mean, things change, Jordan. A team adapts to the situation they're in. So, I mean, calling a guy a part of your core and then all of a sudden, oh, we have an opportunity in front of us that it is our best interest to trade this player who we saw at one point and even we saw recently as a part of this team's core. It is now in our best interest to move that player. So things change, and it is good of this team to adapt to their situation. And that's finally what we saw them do with the Otto Porter trade. They faced reality and adapted to the situation they were in, knowing that they would not be successful in the summer of free agency 2019. So, like, whether it's Bobby or whether it's somebody else, like, I understand your frustration with the whole idea of this front office telling us different things on a weekly or even monthly basis of who they deem to be part of the core and saying, well, you know, Gar saying Powell's part of our core and that's why we didn't trade him at the deadline in a meaningless season when the Bulls were 500, missed the playoffs, and then Powell walked away in free agency a few months later. I understand fans' grievances for things like that. But to me, it's like, don't let that bother you. Use your own judgment, use your own eye test to see, okay, who do I think on this team is staying next season and beyond? And I told you right now, it's those four guys. It's LaVine, it's Porter, it's Markkanen, it's Wendell. Everybody else, doesn't matter, not important enough, who cares, moving on. So I don't understand why the whole idea of what is the core and who is in the core, like, matters. Just look at the team, look at the players as individuals, see what's working and what's not, and then, you know, if the front office makes a move that baffles us, where they ship away, like, Lauri Markkanen, per se, then we will be like, well, then we can say, hey, wait a minute, hold on, time out. I thought that this was the direction we were going in. But since the Jimmy trade, there's been one additional big move, and it was the Otto Porter move last week. And other than that, they have stayed on the line, on the trajectory of what they told us they were doing the day they traded Jimmy Butler. And it certainly had its pratfalls and its foot and mouth moments, and it certainly had injuries and all these things holding up a second year of a rebuild that a lot of Bulls fans wanted to go better than it has. But in my opinion, the trajectory hasn't changed. We've just come to learn different things, which is why right now Chris Dunn is an example of a player that looks to be on the outside looking in as what is the core compared to a year ago. Adapt, change, the core changes too.
I want to just hear more of a consistent message in how they're evaluating and what standards are they holding to and what patience level do they have with some of these guys? Because Chris Dunn, press conference at the end of last year when somebody asked, do you need to do any more evaluating on Chris Dunn?
So, John, given that, do you feel that you still have some evaluating maybe of sorts to do with Chris and Zach just because you didn't see a whole lot of them, of course, in these last few weeks?
No, I don't think it's as much evaluating. In fact, Chris Dunn had stretches this year that he was terrific. And, you know, but again, he has to improve. We still have a young basketball team. You know, the challenge for us and our staff is to come up with a system of play that takes the strengths of our players and puts them in positions to succeed. That's what basketball is all about. And I'm confident they will do that. A lot of it is on the individual player to work and to become better.
Now he's out of the core. And so, yeah, that's where I'm just kind of stuck, Matt. Lauri and Wendell are the guys I want to build around. And I like Zach. And I like what Otto Porter can do here. I think I'm just more fed up by the buzzword and the Bulls, quote-unquote Bulls core, than anything else. And that's what frustrates me more.
I'm just reacting and adapting, man. I like this, you know, this Bulls rebuild. I try and find the positives where I can. I don't. And, like, if you're upset about buzzwords as a Bulls fan right now, like, who and what is the core of this team? It is nowhere near as bothersome to me as the grit and toughness
buzzwords
we have to listen to
too.
Right now. That is a way more pressing concern in my mind than who and what is the core. Because I swear to God, if I have to listen to one more Jim Boylan press conference talking about grit and toughness, I'm going to put a bullet in my head.
Hit us up, 331-979-1369. Maybe somebody else out there can explain to me what a qualification would be and what's the idea of Bulls fan? What should be the qualifications of a Bulls core player and what's the timeline of holding these guys and what's the patience level of that? That's where I'm at. I want to hear from Bulls fans. We got to take one more short break. Stay with us here at Locked On Bulls.
What's up, Bulls Nation? Great news. You can now listen to your favorite Locked On podcasts, including Locked On Bulls, using either voice assistants in your car or your smart speaker in home. Maybe you got an in-home smart speaker for over the holidays as one of your gifts. Maybe you got yourself a new fancy car that has a voice assistant feature. Either scenario, in-home or in your car, all you have to do is say, play Locked On Bulls podcast. Play podcast Locked On Bulls, and you're in your car, you're in home, using voice assistant, using smart speaker, it will automatically start playing the most recent episode of Locked On Bulls or any of your other favorite Locked On Podcast Network pods. That's play podcast Locked On Bulls with your in-home smart speaker or your in-car voice assistant feature. Boom! Listening to Locked On Bulls just got easier.
Back here on Locked On Bulls, hit us up 331-979-1369 on Twitter at Locked On Bulls, at Jordan C. Malley, and at Bulls_Peck. Final segment of the episode. So just taking a look at what the Bulls have done after that 10-game losing streak that started at the beginning of January and has run to almost the end. Now bouncing back, the Bulls offense has looked mildly better, actually. And Jim Boylan was the first one to tell you, right before this Bucks game, he had mentioned and dropped, I can't even believe it, he's actually looking at the NBA.com advanced stats, Matt. He's actually looking at it, checking it out.
Yeah.
And he dropped it at his media scrum, where he mentioned that the Bulls had the best offensive rating in the last five games before this Bucks game, leading the NBA in offensive rating over that five-game stretch, and I couldn't even believe it myself. I had to go check it out, and they did.
I couldn't believe that that was true, and I couldn't believe that Boylan was talking about it, because this is the same dude who just a couple weeks ago, when being questioned about the Bulls' lack of three-point attempts, said, "I'm not a stats guy." He actually said, "I'm not a stats guy," when being pressed about the team's lack of three-point shooting. So for him to all of a sudden say, "Oh, hey, look at this. Look at our offensive rating numbers over the last stretch of games," was crazy to me. The Bulls, yes, did start to turn some things around, and he's using some Fred Hoiberg-y stuff to see this improvement in the offense. But it's funny that he said that right on the cusp of the Bulls playing the Bucks, which are one of the better defensive teams in the league. And you go back and watch, or you go back and look at the Bulls' offensive rating in that Bucks game, I think it was like 95. So they definitely ran into a wall there. But even still, it's nice to see, whether it was Boylan being fed that information or whether he found that out himself, it is true that for that stretch of games, and I think Otto Porter Jr.'s arrival had a lot to do with it, the Bulls were playing at a much higher level of efficiency on the offensive end, and LaVine and Markkanen are both looking a lot better as individuals and as players that are developing some chemistry, finally, thank God.
I think the two things to mention here really quickly is, one, I think he realized he's got to be a little bit more prepared. Number one, when he was kind of pressed about the way that his team looks, the way he's prepared for interviews, not only going on radio, but also in media scrums when he's asked about stats, and he hasn't come more prepared. But now over the last, I don't know, week or 2 weeks, he's been more prepared with stats, realizes he's got to use that when people around the league and writers and everything else are using this to go at him for the way that the Bulls have played. So he's been a little bit more prepared than usual. But I hate to be this guy, and I'm not trying to be negative, but let me just be this guy for real quick. So over those five games where the Bulls have been the best offensive rated team in the league, here's the five opponents and what their defensive rating were. The Heat come in at number 11 in defensive rating at 109.3. The Nets were 15th, 110.5. The Pelicans were 18th, 111.2. They also played without Anthony Davis, Nico Mirotic, and Etuan Moore. The Hornets were 23rd at 113.8, and the Wizards were 27th at 122.5. So take that too, on top of the Bulls being the best offensive rated team over that five-game stretch. So
yeah,
little bit of fairness thrown in there as well. So they didn't play anybody in the top 10 in defensive rating over that five-game stretch.
And this season, we are seeing the increasing and ongoing trend in the NBA that teams are pouring in 120, 130, 135 a night easy. Defense is just kind of not a thing anymore. Between that and the very casual way that refs are calling, or better yet, not calling certain things this season, like travels, and players getting to the free throw line, and the huge spike in three-point attempts, the offensive rating versus defensive rating, I mean, take it for what it is, take it for what you will, it is very different than just even a few years ago.
Yeah, that is true. I mean, and even going back to that Bucks game too, you know, people were hounding us, and not really hounding, but just asking, like, you know, the Bulls have been better at getting to the free throw line in a lot of these games over the last 10, especially. And then against the Bucks, they only had four free throws in the first half. And I was like, don't hound the Bulls for that. Like, the Bucks, look at all the length that the Bucks have. Like, obviously the lanes are going to be clogged in that game, and they did a better job of adjusting to that. The Bucks were sagging off the three-point line, so the Bulls were like, okay, you're going to do that, we're just going to shoot threes then and just try that out. And they did. Good for the Bulls for trying that. The Bulls don't have a lot of three-point options, and that's the reality of the case.
And But, like, in their starting five, now they do, between Levine, Markkanen, and Otto all being able to hit threes. That's a good thing. But then when they try to continue that strategy into their second unit rotation, it's like, oh, my God, Shaq Harrison and RJ Diakono have combined to shoot negative 85% on threes over the last couple of months.
All right, Matt, final stat I got for you before we wrap up the show, just looking at three-pointers in general. So since Jim Boylan's taken over the Bulls, I'm just looking at three-point attempts and three-point percentage of the Bulls players leading into the All-Star break. So since December 3rd, 2018, Lauri Markkanen's played in 32 games, Zach LaVine in 26 games. Lauri Markkanen's taken 212 three-point attempts. He's shooting 38.2%. That's pretty good. That's really good for Lauri Markkanen. At this time last year, while he's played in more games and he shot probably about 100 more attempts at the three-point line, he's only averaging about 35% from three. So he's up about 3%, so that's good to see. Zach LaVine, he's shooting 39% from three. Now, if you break this down and go over the last like 4 weeks or so, including that 10-game losing streak, Zach LaVine hasn't been very good from three. It seems like he's lost either confidence or doesn't know where to take his threes. But if you take it from since Jim Boylan started to this period now, those 26 games, Zach LaVine's shooting 39% on 118 attempts. So that's good to see. Your two starters, your two offensive playmakers, shooting 38.2% and 39% from three on a combined about 330 attempts. So that's really good to see. The bad thing here is everybody else on the roster has shot less than 100 attempts from the three-point line. And that's where you find a problem. And that's kind of what I was talking to you about is like, outside of those two guys, there's nobody else on this roster that can shoot threes. And insert Otto Porter now, maybe he can help alleviate that situation. And the other person too, Ryan Arcidiacono, who was lighting it up under Fred Hoiberg, absolutely lighting it up. 42.9% he was shooting from three under Fred Hoiberg in the 24 games he played under Fred Hoiberg. Since then, he's 19 for 70 under Jim Boylan, 27.1%. And his three-point field goal frequency is 60.9%. So Ryan Arcidiacono is absolutely struggling.
So my negative 85% was only a slight hyperbole, is what you're telling me. I mean, but like clearly Arcidiacono, yeah, gritty toughness, Kirk Jr., whatever you want to call him, is not as important and is not as big of a concern as Markkanen and LaVine and Porter shooting the ball well. Like, you know, we're talking about addressing who's our starting five to finish this season and going into next season. And, you know, if you want to use the term core or not, fine, whatever. But we are all aware that this Bulls second unit right now is unwatchably bad. So I'm not concerning myself with Archie's numbers being bad. I'm not concerning myself with Shaq Harrison taking bad three-point attempts, some of which come from just because, like, there was one on Monday night against the Bucks where Chris Dunn just dribbled out the shot clock and then kicked it to Shaq in the corner who had to shoot a three. And it was more on Chris Dunn than it was on Shaq. But we know that this Bulls bench has to get better. And they will address the fringes of this roster going into next season with the $19 million they have to spend even after the Otto Porter contract came into the fold. But to me, the fact that this second unit is so bad right now, whether it's the shooting metrics that you're talking about or whether it's just the overall performance, is a good thing. The fact that we are seeing the Bulls play competitively against the Bucks, the best team in the East, especially when it's the Bulls starting five out there, and then the second unit, which is so atrocious, comes in and ensures that the Bulls lose these games, is exactly the ideal scenario. Because the Bulls cannot risk falling further down the tankathon standings. They're at four right now. Ideally, they should still try to get one of the top three spots. Your starting five is starting to show some semblance of chemistry and offensive competency, but your second unit is so bad that they're going to make sure that because you have to play them some minutes, because you can't play your starters 48, that the Bulls are still going to lose the majority of their games down the stretch. To me, it's a perfect scenario.
That's why I wasn't too concerned about like Otto Porter getting reinserted into the starting lineup. Like, you just look at that Bulls bench and you just look at that and you're like, okay, that's got to get inserted into the lineup. And that's where every team is just going to take advantage of the Bulls. And that's where that's where you're going to pile up the losses at. So that's why I was like, okay, everybody take a deep breath. Even though Otto Porter is going to be in the starting lineup, just take a look at the Bulls second unit and everything's going to be all right. Matt, real quick, Chris Dunn, 17 for 51 under Jim Boylan from three-point line, 33.3% from three. So I was actually a little bit shocked that it was better than I thought. I didn't think he was shooting threes at that clip. So yeah, there's that. The biggest surprise out of all of this, Wayne Selden, 18 for 41 in 18 games with the Bulls, 43.9% from three. Sign the man. Sign the man next year.
Yeah. And that includes a dud night from him Monday against the Bucks when he went 2 of 10 overall and 0 of 3 from downtown. You take that one off night away, and lately Selden has been killing it. I think that the Bulls need to try to keep him. He is the only watchable part of that second unit now that he's gone back to the second unit with Porter's arrival. And honestly, I'm afraid that if he plays significant minutes with that first string, say, you know, the Bulls, Boylan's also experimented with playing Dunn in the second unit at times, they need to be careful to not showcase Selden so impressively that his price tag goes up this summer. Because I think that they should and can try to keep him on a reasonably scaled contract, because he is a player. But they have to be careful not to make him look too good on this unwatchable team, because then all they'd be doing is creating competition for themselves if they try to keep him this summer.
Yeah, there's a lot of dynamics, a lot of factors, too. And you also got to be careful about pissing him off, too, and realizing that as well, because you just traded two guys off the second unit that he found chemistry with. So, and I know he doesn't have a lot of choices, but yes, yeah, a lot of factors do play in. You take those three attempts from Monday night out, he goes 18 for 38 going into that game. He's shooting 47.4% from three in 17 games. So,
dude's crushing it.
Sign the man. He's a restricted free agent this summer. So sign the man. But I think that's going to about do it here on Locked On Bulls. Hit us up, 331-979-1369. We'd love to hear from you. Hit us up on Twitter at Locked On Bulls, at Jordan C. Malley, and at Bulls underscore Peck. We're live on Dash Radio, dashradio.com, and the Dash Radio app. On the Nothing But Net channel, live on Dash Radio every Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday. For Matt Peck, I'm Jordan Malley. Bulls Nation, have a wonderful day. We'll be back tomorrow with a fresh episode. For Jordan and Matt, we are out. Deuces.
Locked On Bulls, a show for the most passionate fan base in the NBA. Hosts Jordan Malley and Matt Peck dive into the best Bulls news and stories around the NBA. Locked On Bulls is live on Dash Radio every Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday, starting at 10 a.m. Eastern, 9 a.m. Central. For more content and to stay up to date, head over to LockedOnBulls.com